Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Verse 20, "Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God in him." Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all the brothers and sisters in Christ today. I thank you, Lord, for their faith. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done on the cross, and that we keep an open heart, and that we represent you, that we are ambassadors for you, Lord, that we rest in your grace and let you do all the work, and that we realize that it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we just read this verse about ambassador. So today we're going to talk about being an ambassador for Christ. All right? I wrote down, it's pretty lengthy, but we're going to go over it, but it's important. This is a definition I got, Webster's 1828. That's what I usually use for definitions. So we use this, and the Bible uses the word ambassador 12 times, 10 times in the Old Testament, 2 times in the New Testament, and the 2 times he uses it in the New Testament are from Paul. Okay? So let's just go over the definition, because that's what we're going to talk about, being an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador is a minister of the highest rank employed by his own prince or state to manage the concerns of his own prince or state and representing the power and dignity of his sovereignship. That's the definition of ambassador. Okay? It didn't change too much in the regular Webster's dictionary. You know, a lot of words change in there, but it's pretty much that's what an ambassador is. All right? So today we're going to talk about being an ambassador for God. And we just read the verse. There's 2 verses in Paul's books. This verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. And there's also Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Now we're going to turn to that later, but right now we need to go over what's an ambassador. All right? So let me ask you a question to you guys. An ambassador for God. How do you get to be an ambassador for God? Okay, so let's turn a few verses. Exactly right, Joe. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll write up here, point 1 is how to be an ambassador. To be one. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now there's a lot going on in that verse, but that is one of the greatest verses of the Bible. Okay? Now we as Christians now, when we were unsaved, to get saved, we had to trust in something in there. We had to trust in the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now I'm asking this question to the young people here today. Where's the gospel for today at? You guys remember Romans? Romans chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. When you get, I know I put them on the spot, they're eating back there, they weren't sure. So anyway, they know this because Rich and I go over this all the time. I don't care how much you know or how little you know. When you're saved, you need to know Romans 3 and 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. If that's all you know, tell that to everybody because that'll be good enough. Okay? This is the gospel. So let's turn to those verses so everybody knows what we're talking about. Let's go to 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Christ died, buried, and rose again. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Okay, now let's turn over to Romans. We're going to have Big John, one of his favorite things he talks about, Romans chapter 3. He's going to read verse 25. Romans 3, 25. Whenever you're ready, Big John. This is your verse. Every time I think of this verse, I think of you.
First of all, we get diplomatic immunity.
That's not part of the gospel, guys. Okay, John just had a comment. For those of you listening. Propitiation. Forbearance. All right. Big John. That's it. That's why I had Big John. There it is. So guys, if you, and you should grow and edify in the Word of God. But right there, I was saved for 1 year. I heard the gospel was saved and I couldn't point to these verses. I'm ashamed of that. I got saved because I heard somebody preach this at the pulpit. What do you get saved by hearing? You hear the Word of God. I got saved. And then all of a sudden I said, people say you got to commit your life to Christ. You got to accept Jesus. You got to preach John 3:16. The first book I read was John 19 times. John. This is not the gospel for today. John is a great book. All the Bible, okay, is for us. It's just not all to us or about us. But it's so important that you start with your family, with anyone who's first gets saved. Jim and I are talking about somebody who's doing a great job. He's being bold about preaching the gospel. Take them to these places. This is the gospel. Okay? Help them understand. Start down the road to Romans. Romans 1 and 2 are great, but you can start them right at Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Great verse to start at. Okay? And you take them through how bad they are and say, this was me, and because I had faith, because of what Christ did, I'm not that anymore. And that's what you take them. So that is the gospel. Have faith in the blood. No works, no confession, no altar call, no committing your life to Christ. It's as simple as that. No baptisms. Now you do get baptized, but you get baptized by the Spirit of God, not by water baptism. But let's make sure, especially if we're going to be ambassadors for God, that we understand we're preaching the right gospel. Okay? So, we verified how to be an ambassador. You have faith in the Word, have faith what saved you, that Christ died, buried, and rose again, and faith in the blood. That's it. So what does that mean? How many ambassadors right now living do we have in the world then? Is it just the people in the room because we believe in right division? Or who's an ambassador right now? Whoever so have faith in the blood believes. Now think about this. I never looked at these verses with ambassadorship until probably about 5-6 years ago until I started getting into right division. How many people you think who are believers actually understand that they're ambassadors for Christ? I think very few. They don't even understand that concept, what it means to be an ambassador. So it's like foreign to them. But little do they know that the second they have faith in the blood, a ton of things happen to them. That second, a ton of wonderful, everything positive. Everything positive happens to you. But you're an ambassador, whether you like it or not. Now some people say, well, Bear, I don't always feel like an ambassador. Too bad you are. I don't always act like an ambassador. That's true, but too bad you are. People don't always act and do it, but that doesn't take away from their position and who they are in Christ. Okay? So, as an ambassador, you have faith in the blood, you are an ambassador for Christ. Yes, sir?
It's necessary to make it clear that, yes, we are saved by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
But other churches or other people will say that is true, but you also have to add the water baptism, or you have to
speak in tongues. Did the word we just read, anything talk about works? Did anything we just read talk about works? So when somebody says you have to do these things, what are you going to say to them? But wait, I'm already complete in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Or show them these verses. Show them Titus. Show them Ephesians. For by faith you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah, well, it's not, it won't work if you have faith and have works. But let me say this, John. There are many people in other religions who had faith for 1 second who are saved. And then they go right to works. They are still saved. And we need to understand that. But as an ambassador, the first thing you need to understand is don't, if a guy said he's a Christian, don't take that for a fact. Don't stop there. Ask him, how'd you get saved? If he doesn't talk about the faith in the blood and Christ died, buried, and rose again, and that alone, share with them the gospel. You realize right there, you have some discernment. Hey, he's not saying this. He's saying, I committed my life to Christ. The next question, as an ambassador, is saying, Well, can you show me that verse? And not out of sarcasm and not out of proving that you're right. But we have to let the Word of God be our authority. We have to do that. So everything that you tell somebody, don't start making up stuff. We're all real good. I'm a sales guy at heart. I can go down that road and I can say anything to sell anything. But that's garbage. We're talking about being an ambassador and using the Word of God. What did Jesus use? Did he make up his own thing from God? No. It is written. He followed every word. Paul didn't have the written word, but he's getting from the Holy Spirit and he's writing it down. Okay? He didn't say, well, God, hold on a second. I know what I'm doing here. Okay? And Paul was a great salesman. You had to be a great salesman to be the Hebrew of the Hebrews and get where he has. You had to be so full of yourself that you had to get there. So Paul knew how to be a great salesman in all these other ways, but that's not what God wanted. God wanted him to allow the Word of God to work in him and write it down and follow. All right? So the first thing is how to be one. We went over it. Very important. As an ambassador, you need to know the gospel, know how you got there, and every single person who trusted in the blood is an ambassador. Now, they may not know that, and you want to share that with them, but that's wonderful. But that's how to get there. Okay, the second thing is what's our purpose as an ambassador? What are we supposed to do as an ambassador? What's the purpose? Represent, well, as an ambassador of God, Joe, what are we supposed to represent who? Yes. That's it. Well, we're going to go to the next point. You're already there. But our purpose is there. We represent Christ. But what is His purpose? Let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's turn to that verse. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Tom, you're going to read that verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Or chapter 2. Sorry, Tom. Chapter 2. Actually, no, it's 1 Timothy chapter 2. 2, 3, and 4. I want you to read. 2, 3, and 4. Go ahead. Okay, so God has a twofold purpose right here. For men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, it's real interesting, that verse. When you share that verse with people, you share the gospel with them. Oh, Barry, I believe that. I'm saved. They've been going to church for 20 years. I was confounded by that verse. You say, wait a second. I thought I came to the truth when I understood the blood of Christ. What is it? God says and there. He doesn't say also. He says and. So there's a twofold purpose. Wait a second. I thought I understood the truth when I was saved. Well, this is where the mystery program comes in. This second verse is why a lot of us are here today. Several of us, Rich, Jim, myself, other people gone to other churches. This verse is what grabs your heart. This verse, unless you started in, Lori and John came to this. Lori was saved before then. She came into right division. Unless you were born in this, which most of us weren't, you had to come to the knowledge of the truth. Somebody had to share that with you. I mean, I started reading about it. I saw that, but I had somebody that said, hey, Barry, look at these verses. Hey, look at these verses. You can come to that conclusion by reading Scripture. What's the problem with that, though? You got all the outside influences. You got these godly men telling you what to do. This guy wrote this book. He wrote this. They believe this. Because we're listening to the wrong source. We're listening to commentaries. We're listening to other people instead of... You can get this stuff. If you just had the Bible and you're alone on a desert island, It'd probably be the most clear thing you ever read in your life. The simplest thing you ever read. Remember, they did this survey once, and they did it with jailers. They said that they did 5 different Bible versions, and they said that you had to have a college education to read an NIV Bible. You had to have a third grade education to read a King James. How profound is that? Now, whether they said that or not, we know that. But it's funny that the studies of the puffed up men came to conclude that the King James was the easiest one to read. How shocking. So, the simplicity of a third grade. Now, this survey was done about 20 years ago, and the kids inherently, they have gotten smarter. The aptitude has gotten smarter. Do they use their brains the right way? No. But their ability to think and stuff has gotten better, but they don't always think on the right things and do that. So, that could be second grade now. But the King James Bible is not hard to understand. The problem is all the influences. All the stress, all the pressures of you got to go to this church for this. You got to have your friends. Church has to be within 2 or 3 miles of each other to go. I talked to a guy who goes, Barry, tell me any churches in 2 miles. I said, where do you care where you go? I just want a church in 2 miles. It says something about Jesus. That's crazy. You're talking about handling the Word of God, which is the most important thing. And you're saying, okay, as long as they teach about Jesus. Well, the Mormons teach about Jesus. The Catholics teach about Jesus. There's people out there that are starting their own cults to teach about Jesus. So, Everything talks about Jesus, but do they talk about him as if he's God and the one only true God? No. So that's important. So the purpose is understanding for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's your purpose as an ambassador. And let's read a few verses on the knowledge here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 3. Ephesians 3:3. And we're just going to go over a couple verses in here that help us to understand about the mystery and help us, that second part of that verse, and for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 3 says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And here we go. Verse 9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." This is the mystery program. This is this right here. This program right here that we're talking about. One guy asked me one time, "Well, Barry, the mystery is just that the Gentiles were added." No. Because could the Gentiles be saved in Israel's program? The answer is yes. How? By blessing Israel. So wait, that can't be that he added the Gentiles. Now, most Gentiles weren't going to do that, but that can't be that. The mystery has a lot of aspects. We've gone tons of different gospel, different messenger, different location where you're heading. As Joe talked about home, there's several things different about it. The difference between the gospels in the Bible and Paul's gospel is there's different things going on, but Jesus Christ is the center of all the good news of the Bible. When Noah was told to build an ark, God is sitting up there, God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. They found one righteous man in Noah. So the focus was that Christ gave him the good news. "Hey, we're going to save you. Build the ark." That was his gospel. Amen. But was the focus Jesus? Yes. Different gospel. Now, if Joe builds an ark today, have him committed. Okay? He's not supposed to build an ark. There you go. As long as he can put a barbecue in it, you can cook for him when he goes on his journey. But anyway, no, the whole thing about it is that you have to understand where you are. Because if you think that you're saved by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to end up in a pretty hard place when you die because you weren't saved by the right gospel. So as ambassadors, the clarity of the gospel is one of the biggest things. The second part, for all men to understand the truth, that's iron sharpens iron. I want to say every one of you, since I've been here, has helped me to understand this. The encouragement of Rich. Ben texts us every week verses. Seeing where Jim is at going. All you guys here and the ladies encouraging one another in the truth. That's what we're supposed to do. So being an ambassador, you say, "Barry, you're just going to unsaved people." No, what's the second part of the verse? Knowledge of the truth. Well, how do we do that? We're here today. We're with each other. We're studying. So the more we equip each other and edify one another, and it's all about Him and bringing up Christ, that makes it easier for us to go out and share. You know, Rich talks about the promises, made me think, "My God, I got to focus on all those great promises." When he was teaching the promises, that's what you hold on to. Don't hold on to the promises of Israel because they're not ours. Right? So that every time that we talk to each other about the Word of God and edify and encourage one another, that's how we grow. And that's how we come to the knowledge of the truth. We're just starting down this journey. You know, the more you read, the more you study, you go, "God, I don't know a whole lot." Because you gather more information, but then you find out, and it becomes more exciting to you. And that's the growing and understanding and having an open heart. Now, we always don't have that open heart. When a brother comes up to tell us we're doing something wrong, that brother needs to be humble and come up and tell us as a humble manner, trying to help that brother. There's a way to help somebody. There's a way to encourage somebody. So that's what we need to do. Part of our ambassadorship in coming to knowledge of the truth is help each other. Help each other in our walk with our families and encourage one another. And give each other verses. "Your opinion is worth nothing." I'm sorry. I had to come and realize my opinion is not worth anything. The Bible is what it's worth. Always when you're talking to your brothers and sisters in Christ, point to a verse. Go to a verse. Share with people verses. Because guys, these verses don't change. Now my opinion has changed about 19,000 times. That's not good. But the Word of God hasn't. Young people out there, stick by the Word. You never can go wrong with the Word. Again, I said a couple weeks ago, you're not going to be popular. If you're looking for popularity, stay away from this. If you're looking for the truth and eternal life and living forever with Jesus Christ, then this is what you want. Because, guys, we're not going to be popular. When you see all the things that are happening, the right division stuff, when Paul said everybody left them in Asia, I get tears in my eyes to think, God, there's so many people, they're constantly leaving and leaving when they hear the truth. We've got people from our ministry that have left. It's sad. It should sadden you. It shouldn't be like, oh, that he shouldn't have said that, done that. It should sadden you inside. Because these are people who believe this stuff and knew it was true and left. So as an ambassador, you need to understand with kindness to share and keep each other in the truth. Okay? That means reading the whole Bible, understanding, but understanding who it's to and who it's for. Alright? The next thing is, where is our home, which Joe touched on. Where is our home? Heaven. That's right. What do we call home? And we'll put hope there. Heaven. That's right. And we're going to talk a little bit about heaven here. So as an ambassador, and that was so sad what happened to the U.S. ambassador, Chris Stevens. He's representing us over there, and he gets killed for what he's doing for our country. And that's horrible. Not many ambassadors, if you look at the history of it, have gotten killed like that or done that. In fact, one hadn't died, I don't know how many years, was several years when you look at it. All you're doing is representing your country. You're not going there for war. You're just trying to say, hey, the United States is a great place. We want to be represented there. And you're just actually like a peacemaker. Well, when God came on earth, there was the main ambassador of the world. And how did they treat him? They crucified him. They crucified him. Very few people believed who he was. Now, sometimes in Scripture, it only uses the word ambassador 12 times, but the word apostle is a messenger, a prophet, somebody sent by God. So the Old and the New Testament use different words. They can be messengers. That's true. But the thing about it is we're trying to stick with who we are in Christ and right here. Paul calls us an ambassador. That's what Christ said to call us, and that's what we are. Yes. That's a good point. I was going to get on the first point, but the second point I completely forgot about. That's a great point that Ken said. Everybody hear what Ken said? Say it again louder. Yes. War. Okay, that's important. I wouldn't have got the second thing, so there you go, your brother helping you out in there. The first one, the home party's talking about, you know, it takes us to edify in our faith and mature in our faith to understand. And today, I'm going over all this stuff. Yesterday and then I'm going, I call Brea my home. Joe calls Hemet his home. You call San Diego. Lori calls San Juan. That's not our home. We're thinking backwards on all this stuff. We're thinking backwards on all this stuff. Our home's not even the United States. We have got to think. One of my buddies who's, and Rich knows him too, who doesn't understand right division and maybe turn his eye to it, but he said a statement to me. And it was profound. He said it to me about 10 years ago. He goes, you got to look at life from eternity backwards. So why are we looking at life like the apostles, like it's an earthly, like this is our home? We got to start looking at life as if we're seated at the right hand. Let's go over some verses to show us that. Let's look in Ephesians where John's at. Ephesians is a great book that takes you where your home really is. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Actually, sorry, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So where are all your blessings at? Okay, so why are we looking for stuff here? Why are we focused on stuff here? Why are we worried about all this other stuff when everything's there? Well, that's true. Okay, look at verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He gave that to us the second we trusted in Him. The second we trusted in the blood of Christ, we have that. And He goes, guys, this is not your home. Your home's in heaven. Let's jump to verse 10. That in the dispensation of fullness of times, that He might gather together all in one, all things in Christ, both which are in and which are on, even in Him. So who are the people coming back to earth? Israel. Who are going to heaven? Us. Where's our home? Heaven. Start thinking of life like you're sitting on with the right hand of the Father right now. Look at life that you're sitting with the Lord right now. And you're like, hey, Lord, what do I do about this? And He points to the verse. Verbally up there, He'll tell you. But right now, He points to the verse and says, you know, love them. Preach the gospel. All men to be saved. He just goes through the verses. That's what He tells. We got a picture like we're living from up there, not that we're living from down here. We think backwards in our life. Once we're saved, hey, we can go, go, go. It's like, guys, this is a foreign territory, as Ken said. This is not, the U.S. right now is a semi-nice place to preach the gospel. I'll say semi-nice. In 20 years from now, we may be China. Okay? Jim and I were talking about the battles that Paul had. We have all these battles that Paul had. We encountered almost everything that Paul did, but we weren't stoned. We weren't shot. We weren't killed. But it's coming. It's coming real fast. So don't have hope in the stock market, in the United States, anything here. So people say, well, Barry, you're saying we shouldn't be proud to be Americans. Well, we should be proud to be ambassadors, and we should be thankful that we live in the United States to do it. There's a difference, though. God said to boast in one thing only, the cross of Jesus Christ. So we should be thankful we live in the United States. We should be proud to be Christians and ambassadors of Christ. Big difference there. And we're right where we sit, we're in enemy territory. We go out there, people want to pound us. They don't want to believe us. They want to talk bad about us. They want to do these things. We're getting persecuted from all sides. If you're not getting persecuted, you're not preaching the right message, guys. You're not preaching the right message. Because any time that you do this stuff, you might have a couple people wanting it, but most people are just going to look at you and just talk bad about you, never want to talk to you again. I don't know how many friends, probably over 100, maybe a couple hundred friends we've lost because of this message. They liked us before. What changed? That we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, rightly divided. And that's amazing. So, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why we need to stick together and encourage one another in the truth and help one another out. It's hard to get advice from somebody who's not in this message. You lose your job. What are you going to tell you? Well, it's God's will. This is what's happened to you. Anybody you get advice from who's not in here, don't listen to them. Because they got to give you a verse. They got to tell you what's happening today. I don't mean to sound that like we're all high and mighty, because we're nobody. We are somebody because of Christ. But you want to listen to sound doctrine. Paul goes through his epistle talking about sound doctrine. Your best friend, if you're married, should be your husband or wife. Beyond that, it should be people who are in Christ, okay, that are around you, they're in this message, that will guide you to this word. Because those people are going to point you to the truth. All right? It's hard. When things happen in life, people want to scramble into all these things, and you look at, they're saying all these things, and you're like, well, man, you are there. You're the ambassador. Sometimes you're the only truth that a whole family, Sil's family is huge, and she's very vocal and I am, but there's nobody else to say the truth. So the only people they're going to hear from is us and our actions and how we love people. So it's the same way for you guys, the friends, the family, your coworkers, anybody. You may be the only person that knows the truth. Now, there's millions of us who know the truth across worldwide, but right in your situation, there may only be a few people. So that's why you need to be bold about that. Okay? So our home is in heaven. Our hope, let's look at Colossians. Colossians says the same thing. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Rich, you want to read this verse? Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Yep. So, Rich, where do we hear the truth from? From the Word and from the Gospel. And where's our hope? In heaven. Now, wait. You're telling me that may or may not happen? Look, it's not. There you go. That's not that kind of hope. When God says hope in the Bible, that's a fact. That's a guarantee. Okay? Stephen hoped he'd make the team, and he did. Great job. He's on a national, the roller hockey team, and that's awesome. But he hoped that. He tried his best, he prepared for it, but there was a chance he wouldn't make it. When God says hope here, it's a fact. You will spend eternity with God in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. That's a fact. No getting around it. Okay. The next step is, what is our power to be an ambassador? What's the power that we have? That's right. It's the Word of God. We're going to go over some verses in the Word of God. We're going to start off with 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So what's the power of God? The cross. Now how did you know about the cross, Joe? How did you know about Jesus? How did you know about it? You heard, but where'd you hear from? The Word. So somewhere in here it has to say something about the Word being the power in there if he says the power is the cross. Hearing by the Word of God. So let's go to a few verses here. Let's go to let's go to 2 Corinthians, since you're in 1 Corinthians. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Lori, you want to read verse 7? Okay, it goes on to tell you some other things, but right here, by the word of truth, which is what? The power of God. God's power is His Word. Right there tells you His power is His Word. Now how do we know that? Let's go back to Jesus. How do we know that about Jesus? Let's go to John 1, and let's go to Matthew 4. Grab John 1 and Matthew 4. We'll start off in Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and let's read verse 4. This is Jesus talking to Satan, and he's being tempted, and he said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you think Jesus had a hint that the power was in the Word? Jesus revered the Word. Jesus knew the Word was holy. He followed it to a T. Every single A, V, then. Every time he was supposed to be somewhere, he lived, he died by the Word of God. Every single word. Followed it to a T. Didn't make up any of it. Didn't do it. Again, he made it up in heaven with the Father. But as a man, he was preaching the Old Testament where he was going to be at. He was preaching who he was. He was the Messiah. Everything he said. Let's go to John 1:1. You guys all know these verses. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is, the power of God is God. The power of God is the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ. It's all intertwines with each other. But the power source of God is His Word. How did we get here? He spoke us into existence. His Word. And what does God say in Psalms? Does anybody know the Psalm? What does He say about His Word? He preserved forever, Psalms 12. But what does He say about where He puts His Word? Psalms 138. Let's go to Psalms 138. Joe, you're going to read that verse. Psalms 138. That's a great verse to know, guys, because people will rip on you and tell you you're all about the Word, and you know your reply should be, amen. If anybody ever tells you you're all about the Word, you say, amen. Because there isn't anything else. Okay? Now, if they say you're all about your barbecue like John, or Barry, you're all about your sports, then you failed. They say you're all about the Word, you're doing a good job. Okay? So, Joe, turn to Psalms 138. Yeah, Psalms 138. Yeah. Well, Psalm says Psalm 138. Yeah. I said chapter, sorry, but it's 138. There is. Sorry, guys. It's a hard crowd I got this morning, huh? Thanks, Jamie. There you go. Okay, Psalms 138. What verse is it, Joe? 2. Go ahead and read it. Above all thy name. Guys, this is your power. Your power is the Word of God. Your power is the cross, because the cross is in the Word of God. That's your power to be this ambassador, to be this foreigner in a foreign land. You're not foreign to heaven, you're foreign to this land. So you have to have a power source. You have to have the power to do this job that God has prepared you for. There you go. You want to read that verse, Tom? Let's go to Romans 1:16. Let's go to Romans 1:16. Great verse. And Tom, when you get there in 1 second, Tom will read that verse, Romans 1:16. Go ahead, Tom. That's awesome. Do you see how a brother and the brothers and sisters in Christ in here encourage each other in the truth? Tons of you guys are saying, that's what I'm talking about, the iron sharp iron. The second step of an ambassador is for everybody knows come to the knowledge of the truth. We all need to hear that in here and out there. You find a saved person, you teach them that. They're not saved, you preach the gospel. All right? Iron sharp as iron. Okay? We build each other in the Word, not in our own strength and power, in the Word. All right. What is our promise? What's the promise? What's this whole thing about? When you preach to somebody, what's it all about? Why would you preach to them anyway? What's the promise that God's going to give you? Eternal life. Because right now, Sue, where are they heading? Well, she said that word. Better cover your ears. Anyway, that word hell. That's courage right there. That's what we need to tell people. Well, guys, you might not go to the best place. Hey, the difference between saying the Sheraton and the Motel 6 is not the best place, but it's still a hotel. So don't say that. Say the word hell. If people don't trust in this, they will go to hell and burn forever and ever. Right? Burn forever and ever. Eternal. But you can share. We did a study on Saturday night, great study, 20, 30 verses we went over hell, and I'll tell you what, it's scary. You just type in the word hell and go over those verses, it will shake you up. I suggest you get one of those verses that you like, and that's the one you can share with somebody. You say, Barry, you're trying to scare them? Yes. They've got to realize where they're going before they can get where they need to go. Right there. That's it. That's it. So you have to understand. So it's not a bad place they're going. They're going to eternal damnation, being fried, never dying, eternal death. Yeah. And that's it. There's no second chances. Now, in life, there's second chances, but you don't know that the person you're talking to. The second you talk to them, they get in the car of the dead, there's no second chance. Yeah, it's a constant dying and being tortured. So just how we talked about hell, not to scare anybody, but Jamie's right. Yeah, you need to scare somebody, yes. You need to tell them the truth. Amen. And that's what got me saved. I had my kids, 2 and 3, thought I was going to go to hell, heard that Christ died for me, and I was in religion for 29 years. I go, I better believe that. I'm scared to death. Didn't say a word to anybody. I just said faith that his blood washed away all my sins and he died bearing. That's all I did. Yep. It is the best day because then you realize there's an alternative. Instead of going 5 south, you go 5 north. It's better, you know? Not to say 5 south's bad, guys. Okay, I'm not ripping on the San Diego people here. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Okay, let's go over what's our motive. I know John's going to love this. What's our motive? What's our motive for doing this? The love. Yeah, that's right. The love. Our motive has to be right, guys. This can't be, This can't be John and I competing on how many people got saved. First of all, you and I never saved anybody. Too bad. We didn't save a soul. It's not about you and me. Okay? It's about having the love of Christ and sharing with people regardless of what they think about you, regardless of what they're going to do to you, regardless of anything's going to happen in your life. Because you have something greater than everybody else. Now, is it nice to smile about that? Yeah. Is it nice to say God died for me and brag that He died for me, He did everything for me? Yes. Is it nice to put it in somebody's face about it? No. Because that's not the love of Christ. He's already going to put this in the face of a lot of people. He's coming the second time. And He ain't coming as a nice guy. He gave everybody all these chances throughout Scripture, throughout the Word. So He's going to, remember, vengeance is the Lord's. He'll know when, what to say, when to say it, and exactly at the right time will be the perfect time. So let Him take care of that. The people that you don't like in this world is the people you should be praying and preaching to the most. Because don't let that get in the way. Because they need the Lord just as much as you need the Lord, even though you may not like them at all. You go to a family gathering, you stay away from that family member. You stay. We all do it. It's all been there. That person needs the Lord just as much as you do. That person, you're just as wretched as that person was, and you both deserve to be saved. Because not deserve to be saved. You both deserve a chance to be saved because the Lord gave you that chance. You didn't deserve it at all. But that person needs to be saved too. Alright? So the motive is God's love. Let's look at a couple of verses for God's love. Let's look at Romans 5:18. Romans 5:18. Oh no, sorry. I could use 18, but let's go to Romans 5:8. Sorry. I can't read my handwriting. Romans 5:8. Amanda, you want to read that verse? Romans 5:8. So Christ commended His love for us while we were yet sinners. We weren't even born yet, guys. We weren't even here yet. And God did this. And we were sinners. We're born. We're from mom and dad. And God commended His love for us. Let's turn to Romans a couple chapters over. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Take heed to that, guys. Okay? This is not going to be pleasurable. But keep reading. Okay? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So guys, that's love. And you don't see any jittery feelings the first time you see a young lady or man, and oh, that's not love. Love is a commitment. God has committed His life to us for eternal life, and He gave it to us through His Son. That's the greatest show of love of all. And you want to define love? God just defined it. Nothing will be able to separate us. Now be careful with these verses. I've had unbelievers use these verses with me. This is to the believer. So you got to make sure that He sees you as that way, and He does that once you believe. Because right now, God committed His love for all mankind. But once you die and go to hell, they're cut off from God. People need to understand that. Sometimes people, I hear these verses from non-believers, religion. That's not true. They think everybody is loved, that nothing will separate us from the love of God. That's not true unless you're a believer. If you're a believer, this is true. This is a fact. But if you're not a believer, this is not true. He gave that offer to all of us through His Son. And then you have faith, you have this. But until you have faith, you're not going to have that eternal love and promise that God has until you believe. All right? And we're just going to go over a couple things on here and we'll wrap it up. A minister of the highest rank, an ambassador. The highest rank. I want you guys to look at yourself. How high, where does God say you are that you are part of Him now, that you are in Christ? The highest. Let's go to a verse. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. That being justified by His grace, that's everybody in here, that's for a minute you have faith in the blood, we should be made what? Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What does heir mean? But what does heir mean? That we have a part of it, Tom. Right. So how high is Christ to God? Sit at the right hand. So how high are we? We are of the highest rank. You as ambassador have the highest ranking of anybody in the world to do your job in foreign soil. You're the highest ranking. You have it. You can't get any higher. At my company, it's a small company, a guy came up to me, we got about 130 people in one company and a couple hundred in another company, and a guy came up to me, he goes, yeah, this one person's struggling with because she wants to make a name for herself here. And I kind of chuckled and I go, well, at this company, they treat you really well. They take care of you. It's one of the best companies you'll ever work for. But the only name that matters is Ellis, and that's the owner. When you humbly realize that, it's a wonderful place to work because it's not about you. Now, you contribute. You feel good that you're working, you're doing things, but it's made me work for the right reasons. To take care of my family, to help the ministry, to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, to help the poor. Because they eliminated the thing of all the titles and all that. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to get caught up into that. Well, guess what? You have the highest rank. But the only title that matters is Jesus Christ. The only name that matters is Jesus Christ. And because we're in Him, we matter. You can't get any higher. You can't get any better than what you are now. You have Christ. He's done it all for you. You're complete. So you're of the highest ranking ambassador. You don't want to be the Pope. He's not in Christ. Now, there are ambassadors, John, on the other side. Satan has his own ambassadors. And you were one of them. And I was one of them before I got saved. You were an ambassador for Satan. All right? We all were. That's right. And I was too. That's what I was saying. Before we got saved, we were the same. Okay, so employed. What's the difference in this one right here? Chris Stevenson, he died, unfortunately, which was sad. But let's say that he filled his term out and then he said, you know, I'm going to do something else in my life. He resigns or he quits. The difference in this is God owns you. God owns you. You are Christ. You are in Christ. You're not employed by Him, He owns you. This ambassador is permanent and eternal. The ambassador of the world is employed. Chris Stevens learned that fact, very, very hard fact. We die today, we're never going to see death. We're going to go back to our home. Remember, look at it from eternity backwards. Look at your life from eternity backwards. Our own prince or state, this is Jesus Christ. To manage the concerns of him, representing the power and the dignity, his sovereignship, his word, his sovereignship. Every knee will bow. The scripture says every knee will bow before the name of what? Jesus Christ. So as an ambassador, that's who you represent. So, any of you, which I think almost everybody here, or everybody here, has faith in the blood. We've been Christians for a long time. You guys have the highest ranking ambassadors of the world. Of the universe. Not just the world, of the universe. That's a privilege and an honor. Think about yourself differently. I'm an ambassador for Christ. And look at yourself from your home being heaven. Not in Brea, not in Placentia, not in Oceanside. Your home is in heaven. God knows it's not Hemet, but anyway. Just kidding with you. Yes. Joe's right. You should take it as a high calling. And the second you had faith in the blood, you got that calling. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to ask for it. You got it. Now what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that high calling? How are you going to be an ambassador for Christ this week, next week, the rest of your lives? As husbands, the wives, your families, everywhere you're called to be an ambassador. That's your number one priority, to be an ambassador for Christ. That's your occupation. People say, what's your occupation? Rich is a teacher. I say, a plant manager. No, we're ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are. When people ask you, you want to open a conversation up, or people see somebody shut up real quick, say, what's your occupation? I'm an ambassador for Christ. So they'll either ask you questions, or they'll say, have a great day. All right, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. Thanks, guys.